Welcome to Inner Circle, the premier softball podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric Lopez and Victor Anderson.
And welcome to another edition of In the Circle. I'm Eric Lopez. No Victor Anderson. He's on assignment getting ready for the 2017 Division II Rollins softball season. But we got a great show here for you. I'll be joined by Stetson head coach Frank Griffin, who is two wins shy of 900 wins in his career. And has got an experienced team coming back from a pitching standpoint. They got all their pitchers coming back. And we're going to talk about that. And, of course, the Hatter season going into the A-Sun, tough league, certainly should be fascinating to see. So let's just not go right into it. Coach Griffin, one of the legendary coaches, has built the Stetson program from the get-go. They're ready to go, and had a chance to chat with him. The 2017 college softball season is just around the corner, and for the Stetson Hatters, it's another year of excitement as they get set to play. Of course, they play one of the best stadiums, not only in the A-Sun, but across the country. And the coach in charge of the Hatters program, who's two wins shy of 900 in his brilliant career, and of course joins us now, and I'm speaking of Coach Frank Griffin. Coach, how you doing?
Doing well, Eric. How are you?
Doing great. Just kind of give me your thoughts here. Another season just around the corner and your feelings going in here with a couple weeks to go before the start of the season.
Well, it's an exciting time. We got some young talent and we got something to build on this year. We're probably going to have three freshmen starting and only two seniors. I think one junior, aside from our one junior pitcher. So we're going to be a young team, but it's talented, and we got some good talent coming in for the next 2 years. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we can build here.
It's a young team, but your pitching staff has experience coming back. They've been pitching from last year. That's got to make you feel good going into the season.
It sure does. You know, last year we had three freshmen and a sophomore. Well, this year we got three sophomores and a junior. So that's something to look forward to, a little more experience. That helps a lot in the long run.
What do you expect from your pitching staff? What did you see as far as their growth from last year to now, what you've seen in the fall, and, of course, getting ready here to start the season?
Well, they've gotten stronger. They've all done a good job in the weight room and just working physically to get stronger, and you can see it in their pitches. They're throwing a little faster. They're spinning a little more. I believe that their stamina is going to be better. And of course, they've got that last year's experience under their belt, so I'm just looking forward to them doing a good job for us this year.
And the advantage is now you've got so multiple arms, which is kind of where it seems like the sport is going now, where you have to have two or three pitchers really pitch by staff and committee. The days of maybe just depending on one pitcher to carry you through a season might be kind of on the back burner now, isn't it?
It's difficult. You know, we play so many games in a short period of time. You play 56 games, then you get your conference tournament, and then hopefully postseason after that. And it's a lot to ask of one pitcher. And then it's a lot to ask of two, particularly, you know, you've always got injuries to deal with, even if it's something minor that puts them out for a week or two. So, yeah, having four pitchers in the lineup is a big plus.
Of course, they're going to be throwing to a new catcher. You know, for years after watching your team, I would always just pencil in Jessica Griffin behind the plate, and she's not there. I looked at the rosters like, where did she go? She graduated eventually. She had to graduate. It seemed like she was there forever, but how does it look now behind the plate replacing Jessica Griffin?
Well, we got three catchers that are fine for the spot right now. We got returning player Tally Sharp. She didn't get to see a lot of playing time last year, but she was playing behind Jessica Griffin, and so we got some experience there. Then we got two freshmen. We have Blake Cruz and Erica Corlew, both very talented catchers, swing the bat well and getting stronger. And it's hard to say who's gonna make the starting position back there right now. They'll have plenty of games to figure it out.
Is this one of your deepest teams? Because from looking at the roster and just kind of reading between the lines, it seems like you got some battles here, but you got a lot of options you can go to as far as your roster positions is concerned, isn't it?
Well, we got a lot of depth on the infield this year. That's something that we haven't had in years gone by. We brought in four freshman infielders and three freshman infielders and two freshman catchers, excuse me. So I'm not so worried about injuries as I have been in the past. You know, you lose a player like last year, Brittany Hahn. She was second-time defensive player of the year, have a kid like her that goes down, how are you going to replace her? For that matter, how are we going to replace her this year? But we've got some young talent that's looking really good, and I think with some experience, they're going to step right in and get the job done.
You mentioned that you lose Hahn and Kayla Drury. Who's some of the leaders on this team? It's a young team, as you mentioned. Who's kind of the vocal leader on this team?
Well, overall, it's a pretty quiet team vocally. They speak softly and hopefully carry a big stick. But, you know, our team captains, Lydia Kinney, Jesse Kenbrook, Kelsey Waters, all three are ready to lead the team. They're doing a real good job for us. And the young players are more than willing to follow them.
Of course, you mentioned Jesse Tenbrook, one of their top leadoff hitters in the conference, if not in the country. Talk about Jesse Tenbrook and the type of player that she is, because she is tremendous. For people that haven't had a chance to watch her, certainly recommend her. Tremendous player with really brings it every day.
Yeah, she's so athletic, incredibly quick, outstanding speed, smart player. She'll play second base for us this year. She played second base for us last year. Her first 2 years, she started in right field and did an outstanding job out there. And she's just the kind of player you don't notice very much, but at the end of the day, you realize she got the job done.
How do you feel about the outfield going into the season?
We're going to have strong outfield. Kelsey in left field. Of course, returning, we got Jazz in center field returning for us again. This will be her third year. We had a transfer from a school in North Carolina. Maggie Fritz, right now she'll be starting in right field, and then we've got Lydia Kinney as a backup, and some of our infielders can play outfield very well too, like Jordan Davis, our starting third baseman, Molly McLaughlin, and we've got some depth.
And that's got to help you as far as the DP spot. You got some options. Maybe the player that doesn't crack the starting lineup as far as defensively on the field, you could put him in DP, right? Is that a wide-open situation at DP?
It is right now. I've got three or four players that I'm having a difficult time deciding, you know, who's going to make it in that role. And I'm just going to share the time early on in the season, you know, let the cream rise to the top.
We're speaking with Stetson head coach Frank Griffin here as we get ready for the Hatters 2017 season. You can go to GoHatters.com for all the latest news in Stetson softball. You can watch the home games at Hatter Vision. Of course, go out to Patricia Wilson Field. And as I understand it, you've got some you've added some things to the field now. It's one of the most beautiful stadiums in softball, but apparently there's been some added nice improvements to it, hasn't there, from what I understand?
There have been. We've increased the size of our bleachers. We've renovated the bullpens. They're really state-of-the-art bullpens now. We just finished that project a few weeks ago. We're always looking for, you know, what can we do next to do better? And that's kind of been our philosophy here. How can we improve? And it's just such a great recruiting tool that you just want to continue to keep your facility as nice as possible.
That's a big part of recruiting, isn't it, is the facilities, right? When you bring the students into campus and show them where they're going to play and where they can work out and stuff, the facilities are huge nowadays as far as when it comes to bringing in players, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you don't want to be sliding around on an infield that's going to take the skin off your legs, or diving in the outfield where there's no grass. You want a nice playing surface, something that's safe, that's consistent. And it's been a big selling point for us.
It also attracts some top opponents. You've got a great home schedule highlighted by Ole Miss coming in, USF is coming in, and Ohio State as well as Kansas. I mean, this is another tough schedule as usual. You got nine teams overall in the schedule in the NCAA tournament, but you got some of the top teams coming to your place, which has to mean a lot.
Well, it's going to be good competition, that's for sure. I think it'll only make us better. We'll probably take some lumps because we're so young, but it's going to make us better in the long run, and we're looking forward to playing them.
Give me your thoughts on the A-Sun. 2017 is always tough, and I remember following it last year. It seemed a game here, a game there was the difference between maybe the first-place team and the sixth-place team. It's that tight. Your thoughts going into the season 2017 from the A-Sun? The tournament will be held at Lipscomb, but to me it doesn't seem to be that big of a separation from the top teams to, like, maybe even sixth place. Is that pretty how you feel about it?
It is. It's a very competitive conference in regard to softball. I think typically we rank around seventh in the nation out of 31 different conferences. And I'm not sure there's any other sports to do that in the A-Sun. And it's quality softball from one school to the next.
What's the key to winning the A-Sun Conference? I mentioned it's so the narrow of margin is so close. What is it, the key? You've been at the top of the conference. You've won the tournament and all that. What is the key as far as winning and being at the top of the conference and separating yourself from maybe the pack?
It's a combination of things. You know, obviously you got to have the pitching. You got to have dominating pitching. And then you got to be able to score some runs, whether you do that with power or whether you do it with speed. So it's a combination of factors. And then who gets a little luck here and there, you know, the ball that drops by 6 inches and the one that's caught by at the end of the glove. It's just a lot of luck involved.
Of course, the big other stories around the university, of course, Pete Dunne retired. So now you're the top. You're the top guy now as far as the been there the longest. Have you thought about how much longer you want to coach? It seems like, though, every time I see you, you still enjoy this as much. You could go for a while if you want to, right?
Well, I plan to. I'm having a great time. I'm getting wiser with age. I, at least I hope I am. And as long as I continue to enjoy it and stay healthy, you can find me right here at the corner of Garfield and Arizona.
And how much does it help you that you've got your staff intact? You guys have been together for a long time, your staff. I would imagine that without them, that they help you out a lot as far as doing all the things. And being with them, knowing each other so well and working together for such a long time has to be huge in this profession where a lot of people tend to move on after a few years.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate and blessed in that regard. You know, my staff is just outstanding. They both played for me. I think Vanessa's been with me approximately 18 years. JJ's been with me since she graduated here about 9 or 10 years ago. And I'm just very blessed to have them. They do a great job. They know what my philosophy is, and they support it, and I'm just happy to have them on board. It makes a world of difference.
What's the advice you give to people that are going into coaching, whether it be your volunteer coaches that you have or just people that come to you? What's the big advice you would tell them as far as being successful in coaching in softball?
Well, you got to get your foot in the door. Like right now, we have a volunteer assistant coach. She played at UCF the past 3 years, and she's moved to the neighborhood. Great kid, Jessica Yavari. She's doing a good job with our hitters, and she knew that in order to move on to the next level, she had to start somewhere. So she decided to ask us, you know, would you be interested in having a volunteer coach? So we interviewed her, and it's working out really, really well. The kids like her a lot. She's very patient, very enthusiastic, and that's how you get your foot in the door, you know. It's like she'll move on from here to a better position, hopefully one that's paying, and go from there.
Yeah, Jessica, you've already former player at UCF. Meredith Owen, maybe the best player I ever saw play at Stetson there, one of the best players there. Who is there that type of player, if any of your pitchers can be that type of hitter, or are you now kind of you want the pitchers to focus on pitching? What's your philosophy? Because I know some coaches like their pitchers to hit. Some coaches don't want their pitchers to hit. What's your philosophy here? Is it changed at all, or what's your thoughts on it?
No, mine hasn't changed. If they're willing and able to hit, then they'll hit. It's just that right now I've got four pitchers, and hitting's not their strength. I've got better hitters that could hit for them, but they hadn't always been that way. In the case of Meredith, for example, Courtney Brandt, go way back to Jean Benisi. She's in our Hall of Fame. She played for me 20 years ago, and one of the greatest players I've ever coached. She could play anywhere. Any position, she could bunt, she could steal, she could hit, just an all-around super athlete. And I think one year she was batting second, and my other pitcher was batting third. They'd rotate at third base and on the mound. So it just depends on, you know, their abilities.
No question about it. And that's kind of one of the other keys, right? Adapting to what you have and what the players can do is adapting to the players as far as what they could do on the field and adapting to them in general. That's, I would assume, that's been part of the process for you as well.
It is. It's like playing a hand of cards, you know. You play the cards you're dealt. And this team's what I'm dealt this year, and I'll play them as best I can. Next year we'll have new players. They'll have different skills, different talents, different types. Some might be strong, some might be fast, some might be both. And you start figuring out your hand all over again. What am I going to play this year?
I mentioned the conference tournament that she'll be at Lipscomb, but then as I understand it, we're gonna get it back here to DeLand after that. I mean, because it seems like it's been a while since we've hosted the softball tournament has been in town. Is that accurate?
Yes, it will be. It will be here next year.
Fine, that's great. I've been asking for that for a while, Coach. You know that because I've been to the baseball tournament when Stetson's hosted, but I'm like, come on, bring the softball one over because those are a lot of fun. And obviously, intense tournament there, and you have tremendous coverage, I know, throughout the postseason with the ESPN3. I mean, that's another big thing. The exposure that you now get compared to when you started is just enormous and has to help you from a brand standpoint and a recruiting standpoint.
Oh, absolutely. It's huge. And our sports information department, they do such a good job for us, both, you know, video streaming and our website. And all the things they do behind the scene that just makes our program more appealing to these recruits.
What was your thoughts when they officially announced that softball is back in the Olympics in 2020? You remember when the games were in the Olympics? They went away after 2008, and now they're back for 2020 in Tokyo. Kind of your thoughts as someone who's been around the game for a long time on the impact of that for the sport?
Well, it's huge for the sport. I mean, when we first started in the Olympics, I went to those in Columbus, Georgia. And what it did for softball at the youth stage, it was tremendous. And now these kids are growing up and having kids that are playing the game, and I think it's going to help the sport continue to grow. And it's grown enormously fast over the past two decades.
Anything you would like to see? I know the game has kind of been tinkering with some things about the timing of the game and maybe quicken the game at all. Do you like the way the game is right now, or are there some things you think that should be tweaked?
Well, I'm all for speeding the game up. I don't think we should do anything too drastic, but, you know, if we limited the number of timeouts, for example, it's like I don't call a timeout every inning anyway. We're allowed one offensive and one defensive timeout per inning. A lot of teams huddle before they take the field for defense. I think that's actually a waste of time. I remember back in the mid-'80s, early 80s, when I first started coaching, it wasn't unusual to play a game in an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 15 minutes. Now you're lucky if you get it in 2 hours.
Last thing here, as we get set to start the season, what's going to be the key for your team to work on between now and February 10th when you open the season at home against Akron and part of the tournament you're hosting? What do you want to see from your girls here when the season starts as far as to help them accomplish the goals you guys have set internally?
Well, we've got to work as a team. You know, we've got new players at short, third base, behind the plate, one in the outfield. And we've got to get to know each other, know what our strengths are, what our limitations are, what we can and can't accomplish. We've got to score some runs. We've got to be consistent on the mound. You know, you just got to play the game like it's supposed to be played.
That is legendary head coach Frank Griffin of the Stetson Hatters. The Hatters open the season February 10th. They'll take on Akron. For all the information on Hatter softball, go to GoHatters.com. Coach, always a pleasure to chat with you and get you set for the season. Good luck this year, and hope to see you down on the field there during the year.
Thank you, Eric. It's been great talking to you.
And that's thanks to Coach Griffin once again from the Stetson Hatters. Eric Lopez here. I can't believe Vic missed this interview. I mean, Vic used to call these UCF Stetson games. Of course, they had a lot of rain delays back then. Maybe Vic's got some memories of Stetson. Maybe he felt like if he came into the interview that the interview get rained out or something. I'm not sure, but hope the Vic will join us next time. Again, follow us on In the Circle SB on Twitter for all the latest news. And again, if you can, for this interview and all other interviews, check out our site, of course, at Podomatic, where all the podcasts are loaded, as well as the WordPress. But In the Circle SB, I want you to follow us there because that's where you're going to get all the links, you're going to get all the interviews, and all the news right there. Let's push it where we got to. The numbers are growing, and we're excited about that, and we got more content on the way. So again, thanks to Stetson head coach Frank Griffin. I'm Eric Lopez for Victor Anderson saying so long. You've been listening to In the Circle.